This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, this is Tig Notaro
and Cheryl Hines.
Yes, and this is Tig and Cheryl True Story. And today we don't have time to even tease what this is about because
there's so much. It's so good. You're going to want to hear every word from our guest.
It's literally so good because our guest is Eric Good.
Oh, I get it. So Eric Good was the director and producer of the docuseries Tiger King on Netflix. Also, I mean, let's give credit where credit is due. It was also produced and directed with Rebecca Chaiklin. So that was his partner. Right. But today we have Eric Good on. And we ask him everything.
Monkeys, turtles, skunks.
Murder.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Fry furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast, Tig and Cheryl, True Story. Today, Tig, are you there? You're just really
I am. Quiet. I think you're doing such a great job. I'm in awe.
Thank you.
I'm speechless.
Yeah. That's the first time. Okay. Today we're talking about Tiger King. Mm-hmm. Which is a 7-part documentary series that premiered on Netflix.
Yes.
In March of 2020 this year.
Not long ago.
It was directed by Eric Good. That's who we have with us today. And Rebecca Chaiklin. I'm assuming I'm saying that right. So I think we should just jump in and bring Eric in because I have so many questions and thoughts.
Can I also add just very quickly that this documentary was watched by over 64 million households in the first month of its release. So that translates to over 5 billion minutes of streaming. That's half of what my comedy specials get. So that's not bad.
That's not bad. Everything about this documentary has been a lightning in a bottle. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything, first of all, it's an amazingly great documentary for so many reasons, the overall message of what the documentary is about. And then the characters in it that are real people, and then the stories that unfolded one after another. I mean, it really captured everybody around the world. All right. So anyway, let's bring on Eric. Eric, hi.
Hi, you guys.
Hi, Eric.
So Eric and I have known each other for several years.
How do you know each other?
Through a mutual friend, maybe someone's significant other.
Oh, yeah. I like how coy he's being.
It's Bobby.
Eric and I met through Bobby Kennedy Jr., my husband. And what's what's really interesting, I mean, a few things about Eric. First of all, he's an entrepreneur.
Yeah, just to be clear, he has no credentials, no education, and he's not qualified to be making a documentary.
Yeah, but you started a turtle conservancy.
I did.
In 2005. That makes you ready for anything, as far as I'm concerned, right?
That's probably true, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to help turtles with their PR. They need better PR, like panda bears. So I'm rooting for turtles.
Well, that's what's so interesting knowing you personally and then watching Tiger King, because, you know, Tiger King is about Joe Exotic, who owns a quote-unquote zoo, we'll say, and he has all these animals, and it's part of this documentary is just heartbreaking because of the way that the animals are treated, and I think when people watch this show, they got so caught up with the characters that sometimes I don't know that they got the message of the documentary until the very end. If they didn't, I don't know. Well, first of all, what do you think was the overall message of the docuseries?
Well, I hope at the end, for those that made it through to the end.
Oh, everybody did.
They came away hopefully recognizing who the real victims are in the story, which are the cats and, you know, the suffering and exploitation that they're subjected to. And the commonality between all these people that trumped the issue oftentimes is the way that these people use these cats to basically bolster their egos or their sex life or their, to make these people look special. And they all do it in a different way. But in the end of the day, they're using the cats to do that.
And well, go ahead, Tig.
I was just curious how you stumbled upon this and then decided I'm going to put my energy into this world.
Well, you know, I have to say, Cheryl witnessed one evening a little string out of footage you and Bobby did quite a few years ago, Cheryl, when we were still trying to form this story. You were kind of a guinea pig at the time, and I'm sure you wondered, you know, what was I showing you?
I did. Because I just felt like we were watching crazy people in Florida, but go ahead.
But I started, actually, I cast a wide net, and I was filming everyone under the sun, one of the largest ranchers of rhinos in Africa. I was filming, you know, bushmeat markets and exotic animal markets in Madagascar, butterfly hunters in Indonesia. And ultimately ended up, of course, focusing on the tiger people in the United States. But before I began to focus on the tiger people, I was also just looking at people in general that keep exotic animals in the U.S. There are this wonderful, unique group of people called monkey moms that keep monkeys as surrogate children and dress them up as little, you know, pageant JonBenet Ramsey children. And so it was hard to hone in on just which subculture of animal people were the most interesting. But ultimately, we did focus on the cat people. And that really had to do with the war that ensued between Carol Baskin and Joe.
You were like, sorry, monkey moms.
I know. They had to take a back seat for the moment.
Not interesting enough, monkey moms.
But I'll get to the monkey moms.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. So the tiger people is where we focused our energy ultimately. And of course, who would have thought things would have unfolded the way they did?
Yeah, there's no way you could have possibly... I mean, it's just really, really something. I mean, Cheryl texted me and said, "Oh, you should watch my friend's documentary." And I was like, "Yeah, sure, I'll watch your friend's documentary." And then by the time I finished it, it was the biggest movie that's ever happened, and everybody is talking about this and dressing like
Joe Exotic.
Joe Exotic. And I'm like, what in God's name is going on here?
Well, it's so fascinating because, you know, COVID-19 is hitting right now. So we're in, what is this, June of 2020. So,
it doesn't matter.
When people are listening to this in 10 years, they're going to want to know. And so everybody was locked down in March. The lockdowns happened nationwide, almost worldwide. And Eric, I remember because I did something on Instagram that was like, hey, you guys should watch Tiger King. Well, my friend Eric's, you know, like I'm giving somebody a little inside tip. And then
it was because of that. It was
she's trying
of that
to take responsibility
I
for
know,
your
she should
success, for,
Cheryl. Thank you, Eric. I give you all credit for making it go viral. Thank you so much.
God, I just needed to hear those words. That's it. Good night. But it just so happened that everybody locked down at the same time, and everybody watched Tiger King within those 3 weeks, I think. So for you, I mean, you couldn't have been expecting a pandemic to hit and then your documentary to be the number one.
No, we carefully orchestrated it. We planned it out.
It was, son of a gun.
There was no. We didn't take anything to chance. No, of course we had this bizarre moment in time with our captive audience watching captive cats. And
so, when did you know? Like you're sitting at your house. When did you know that tens of millions of people were watching it?
I think, you know, Netflix kept us informed. And to be honest, I didn't really know what that meant. Because once you start talking about more than 5 million people, it no longer really makes sense to me. What is that? Right. 10 million, 20 million? You know, but obviously now it's surreal. You know, I just sort of wonder, or I don't even wonder. Actually, I'm sure this year's Halloween
costume. Oh, my God.
The trick-or-treaters out in front of my house will all be little tigers and little Joe Exotics and Carol Baskins.
And viruses. Viruses.
And viruses.
Viruses.
And maybe viruses. Although, I think maybe Joe and the tiger will trump the
virus.
I
think you might be right. Mm-hmm. It's hard to know why people are so taken with this. I guess mostly probably because of the wild characters in it and the way they look and the way they talk, but then also all the storylines. And it seems like if a 10-year-old watched this, they were excited to see the beautiful animals because there are really beautiful animals in this. And by the way, the photography is really beautiful in this documentary because you see why people want to be close to these cats because they're just extraordinary. So you understand why people are drawn to them, and you understand why if somebody was at the mall and there was a weird guy with beautiful tiger cubs, I would want to see them. I would want to pet them. I would want to be a part of it. So I think a 10-year-old watching it with a, you know, 45-year-old, they get different things out of it, but it seems to have appealed to almost everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something very attractive or very
compelling.
Yes, compelling about baby tigers. I, you know, we've been thinking about our next series might be the Panda King. We think that would even trump tigers.
Really?
People want to cuddle baby pandas. Yeah. Yeah, so it's we're focused on the panda craze in America.
In America?
No, we're not. But
how long did it take you to start to finish do this movie? Because I mean, this felt like it spanned some time.
Yeah, it ramped up over 5 years. I think mm-hmm. we started about 5 years ago. But again, that was the beginning. Was you know we started with a different idea.
What idea did you start with?
We started just really looking at our relationship with animals and really looking at the pathology of people and the obsessive nature of people and animals, whether you're a crazy cat person or a reptile guy like me. There's just something fascinating about that to me. It's kind of the best in show aspect of humanity. You know, there's so many interesting animal people out there that you would not be aware of. For example, there's something called the Skunk Fest that takes place in Ohio, which is people that keep skunks in their homes.
Come on.
You know, there's the monkey moms. There's the, I don't know. There's a whole lot of them. There's bird people that dress their birds up like pirates and make puppet shows out of their birds.
Who has this time? When somebody, you know, tells me about a show I have to watch or a book I need to read, I really have to think, when am I going to make time in my schedule? I cannot imagine having so much free time that I'm dressing animals up like Jean Bonnet or keeping track of skunks in my home. Maybe I'm unusually busy, but I don't know. Where is this? I love birds, and they come up to my window. I have bird feeders. I go out my door, and I look at them.
Weird.
And say, oh, look at the beautiful. Cheryl, stay out of this. I try to point to my little children, look at these beautiful birds. And I am a cat person. We have a cat named Fluff that lives in our home. But, you know, she's not stinking up the place. She's not in any sort of crazy outfits.
And she's behaved, right? You don't let your cat go outside and kill animals, I heard.
She's so well behaved. She's so well behaved.
Yeah, I don't. I think there's a lot of people with a lot of time. And I think there's a lot of people that are obsessed. And I think there's something wonderful about people that have obsessions. I don't think it should necessarily be a bad word. I think it gives people a lot of joy. But sometimes those obsessions borderline on addiction. And then borderline on, you know, exploitation. And so where is that line? And in the case of the Tiger King, unfortunately, as you mentioned, Cheryl, the tigers are the real victims and they're really exploited and, you know, monetized, which is very sad in the end. And when we set out to do this film, we were very conscious of not doing a story where the audience is subjected to watching animals being abused, because no one wants to see that. So we had to thread the needle carefully to, you know, engage people. But hopefully at the end of the 7 episodes, you walk away scratching your head, thinking there's something disturbing about this. And hopefully we can make change.
I think you just said that perfectly, because I think the ending was a bit of a gut punch for people because they were so entertained by a lot of it. And at the same time, a lot of it was heartbreaking on so many levels, just the storylines. And you forgot sometimes while you're watching it that these people are real people. But can I just say, because I know you and I know how much you love animals, I thought you did an exceptional job when you were interviewing all of those people, because you're such a compassionate person. It never felt like you were judging them, which I think it would have been hard if I were talking to somebody that I thought was being abusive to an animal. I think it would be hard not to come at them from that judgmental place. But I felt like you were very, I don't know, you were a good listener. It felt like you wanted to understand them and hear what they had to say. Is that how you felt when you were talking to these guys, Joe Exotic? And
yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. That probably more than anything was something that I struggled with, which is not to be exploitive of the people that we were chronicling in the story. And, you know, thankfully, in the end, I've spoken to almost all of them since the series came out, with the exception of 4 people. And they all, with the exception of Carol Baskin and her husband Howard, and Doc Antle and Jeff Lowe and his wife Lauren, everybody else really felt that they were depicted fairly, that this is who they were. And most of them, in fact, are finding this new
spotlight.
Sort of, yeah, moment or where they're getting a little bit of fame and having opportunities they didn't ever expect. And so I feel good that we were fair and, you know, really showed these people for who they were. Of course, John Findlay did not like the fact that he didn't have teeth. He's now has a nice pair of teeth.
That's nice.
Now, when you say that they're finding this newfound fame, what do they do with this sort of fame? What do you parlay it into?
It's so interesting. Each one is sort of doing different things. So there's a tour planned in the towards the end of the year with Saf. Saf, who is missing his arm from a tiger. And Saf now is going to be speaking on behalf of the LGBTQ community, which is new for Saf. And then Josh Dial, who is Joe's campaign manager, on that tour, also speaking about issues that have to do with, you know, being gay in Oklahoma. Rinky, who doesn't have his legs, is on that tour. But I think, you know, they're kind of finding their niche and maybe what they can offer. Mm-hmm. Others are just trying to, others have lawyers and managers now that are trying to sort of puppeteer them. And we'll see what happens. It'll be very interesting to see what they do with their tenor.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Or 15 minutes.
And as far as the moment when, is it Saf, you said? Loses his arm. Was it really that casual? It felt like it was another day at the office, and that, you know, the arm was gone, and it's just part of the job. I found that really interesting.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't that casual, and Saf, you know, was exceptional in the way Saf handled that. Normally, a person probably would not have been that stoic, and you know, had come back to work only a week and a half later after losing your arm.
I could not believe that.
I can't. It's still hard to believe. To believe.
And I think Saf did that because he was very conscious that when an incident like that happens at a zoo, especially a roadside zoo, that can be the straw that breaks the camel's back, and the zoo will be closed down. And she, he knew that that was very likely. And I think wanted to prove that, oh, it was nothing. When people get injured at these zoos, they get a tiger attack. When they go to the hospital, they'll say, oh, it was a chainsaw. And that's why I'm getting 70 stitches. Or, oh, it was a this.
I see.
They try not to ever say it was, you know, because of a tiger.
Wow.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that helps inform it a bit more, because that was something I kept and continue to think about.
I was going to say, but what I love about many of the sort of lead characters, they all seem to be doing or trying to do reality TV shows. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to just do a mashup of all of the trailers of their reality TV shows. But Jeff, Lo, and Lauren are doing a reality TV show or trying to. They have they're working on some deal. James Gerritsen, who has the jet skis, is doing a reality TV show based in a strip club in Orlando, Florida, that he's working on. Doc Antle is doing a reality TV show with his many ladies.
So this is how it parlays. It goes to reality. Okay, of course. Why? Of course.
Which I'm of just course. Waiting with bated breath to see them all. So I'm very excited
Same.
About that.
Same. I can't wait to watch those shows.
And I was just curious if there was anybody in particular in the movie that you, because it's such an array of personalities and people, was there somebody that you felt like, I actually really connect with them more than anybody, and this is somebody I could spend time outside of this film with?
Wow. Most everybody were really complex. And I think that there were certain people that I really enjoyed seeing every time I went back to see them. The Rinky, who doesn't have his legs, was one of those people. I really enjoyed Rinky.
That's Saf, how I felt.
Yeah. Saf was one of those people. Mm-hmm. And then there were other people others that, it was really heartbreaking because it just, things just always got worse for them. And mm-hmm. on so many levels. And then there were people that I felt that when I would be driving up to interview them, that I would be thinking in the back of my head, are they going to let me in? Are they going to pull a gun on me? Or do they know something they shouldn't know? And I'm walking on eggshells. So there was a lot of that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. Did you ever feel like, holy shit, I might not make it through the day? Because I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, holy shit, Eric might not make it through the day. It seemed like there were so many dangerous...
You didn't check on him, Cheryl?
I did. Footage that I saw was not...
Cheryl would text me, every day at the end of the day, make sure I was still alive through the process.
Did you check on him ever?
No.
You weren't that worried.
Well, because the footage I saw, if I recollect it correctly, was mostly like crazy. I felt like they were just sort of crazy people, just like a weird guy that's like, hey, I like tigers. It's like, okay. So I didn't, at the time, I didn't think you were in any kind of danger. I thought you were just shooting a documentary about some very curious characters.
I will say, the one person that surprised me, I think, the most of all of the people in the Tiger King documentary was Mario Tabrawe, who was sentenced to 2 100-year consecutive sentences in federal prison for... being one of the, or if not the largest cocaine dealers and marijuana dealers in Florida. And also, having had a wife that was shot 10 times in the head by someone and the killing of a federal undercover informant. So Mario, with that past,
good God.
Was, surprisingly human and likable. And, someone I actually could sit and talk to for hours at a time. And so it was interesting that he, probably out of everyone, came off as sort of the straight normal guy in the series, even though he had such a dark past.
Checkered past.
I can't remember the guy's name you said you connected with also before, the guy that was missing his legs.
Oh, Rinky.
Yeah, Rinky. He was my guy. I was like, this guy, he just seemed so
authentic.
Genuine and authentic and kind. And whether he's in a misguided world, he still, I felt like his
relatable.
And his intention seemed true, again, even if there was misguidedness.
And I think he's had to deal with so much, having lost his legs to a bungee cord accident. And he lost them slowly over time. And he's managed to adapt in a way that he never has an apology. In fact, he wears shorts every day, never long pants, because he wants to be able to say, hey, these are my legs, and he's made the most out of them. And I find him, there's something really refreshing about him and how there's no woe is me. It's all like, you know, this is who I am.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, you get that 1,000,000%. And and it really, really spoke to me. Yeah, I found him very, very interesting and relatable, as much as I can relate to this world. Because I truly, this was fascinating to me. I was more interested in the uncovering of a world that I really didn't know. I knew that people had big cats as pets, but I felt like it was on such a smaller scale, and you'd hear about someone getting caught having a big cat in their backyard and it ate them, and then I just was not up on this information, and that was way more interesting to me than the crazy characters that I think most people really latched onto. I was just more like, I had no clue this was a world.
I would say most people. Did not know. That's what was so shocking.
That's my jaw was agape over that throughout the whole time. I kept turning to Stephanie to say, how has this not come up any, like, I know so many people, I travel so many places, I follow the news. It's beyond me.
I will say this. I've always found, you know, middle America, and I don't say that in a negative way, but sort of suburban, rural parts of this country, fascinating. And I think that we tend to generalize about suburbia and think, oh, that's suburbia, or that's, you know, middle America. But when you start to turn over the rocks and inspect a little bit more, you start to see that there are things going on that are really surprising, whether it's people that keep exotic animals or people that are involved in strange sexual fetishes or people that collect things that you would never think one collects. And I think that we tend to think, especially those that live in big cities like New York or LA, that, oh, everything revolves around New York and LA. But I think, you know, Errol Morris was onto something, and many, many people that chronicle suburbia. There's a great book by Bill Owens called Suburbia in California, and it's one of my favorite books. It was done in the 70s, but you shouldn't generalize, I think, about all of America, and it's just surprising what's going on behind closed doors, or, you know, and so I find that fascinating.
Well, one of the things that's been so incredible for me as a stand-up comedian traveling to every part from major cities to rural America, to college towns. I've done churches. I've done living room tours. I've gone around the world. And when people start to feel like LA and New York are representative of the bigger picture, it's one of those things, like, you could never describe being in love or being a parent until you experience it. And I feel it's the same until you've really gone out into the world beyond that LA and New York bubble, you cannot begin to understand what's out there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it always reminds me of that wonderful New Yorker cover by Saul Steinberg. You know, there's like, it just shows New York and the West Coast and Hawaii and nothing in between. But there's so much in between. It's a fertile
there's
landscape.
So much. I feel like people should not be allowed, I don't mean this literally, but I don't think people should be allowed to travel outside of this country until they have explored it more, because there's such a lack of knowledge. You know, it's that goes for even people that live in Middle America, not knowing what's
the rest of it.
Yeah,
right.
There's so many things to see. There's so much beauty. There's so much horror. There's so much to uncover, and people are so excited to go and travel outside of this country and see what's out there, and just to have a better knowledge of where we're from. And I think it's helpful.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Eric, I have a question. So when you were shooting this, like we talked about, there were so many stories that started unfolding. I mean, murder. I don't know if you knew that was going to be a big part of this series. And then talking about drug trafficking. And I mean, I was always surprised when you guys would show up with your cameras that people were like, yeah, come on in. I mean, I would have been like, hey,
I'm drug trafficking right now.
Can I call you back? But they were just like, no, I would like to kill somebody. And, you know, it was just, that was also part of sort of shocking to me. But what did that feel like in your shoes?
Well, maybe partially the fact that I'm, as I said earlier, a person with no credentials, and that I came out of this New York nightlife world where, you know, we did drugs and we, you know, we were somewhat unorthodox, and I won't go further into that, but I think I wasn't a journalist, and Mario could share things with me, you know, hey, Eric, you know, in the 70s, we did Quaaludes and this, what did you do? And blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, we were on a level that maybe wouldn't have been the same had it been someone else. And the fact that I know a lot about animals. So it was pretty easy for me to speak the same language in many ways, not every way. And but having said that, there was a courtship in order to get access and to make these people feel comfortable speaking with me. And sometimes that took months. So it wasn't just, hey, I'm coming down to shoot you. Let's talk about meth and tigers together. You know, it didn't quite work that way.
You don't have to answer this, but where did you stay when you were, I mean, in my little imagination, I think that you had your own trailer next to the group.
Were you snuggling with the rats?
Oh, God.
Were you spooning?
The rats?
In one of the outhouses?
I hate to say it. I do have a photo of me lying in bed with Joe, but I won't show that to you guys. but you just made me think of that.
Well, you just made me think of that.
No, I did stay in hotels.
Oh, hotels. And I'm sure I'm sure it was like the Holiday Inn, the best that they had in the middle of nowhere. Because, listen, I'm from Florida.
It's not time to brag, Cheryl, okay? This is not a competition. I'm from Mississippi. You're from Florida. So what? Okay, we have bigger issues to talk about.
I want to make this all about me.
I'd love to say that I really roughed it and I stayed in the trailers. No, I was very spoiled through much of this, to be honest.
I highly doubt that. Did you come and go? Clearly, you didn't just leave your house for 5 years to make this.
Yeah, I came and went. And there were some stints that were long, maybe a few weeks at a time. I came and went. And at first I didn't know where this was going. And I remember, you know, the moment I heard when interviewing Jeff Lowe that Joe, was in serious trouble and that he had hired a hitman to kill Carol, it all made sense. The second I heard that, I remember, oh my God. You know, now I know why Joe left the zoo. Now I know why Joe's been the way he's been. He's been trying to kill this woman. The FBI is on his tail. And that moment made everything suddenly made sense. But yes, I had no idea that Joe was plotting that, because of course he was plotting that for the whole year I was filming him.
When that started to seem like, I thought that's what was, I thought I was about to watch not only people exploiting or abusing animals, but I was so not ready to also be taking that in, that I was pretty stressed through this series, and it was stressful. It was very stressful for me, and I don't feel like I stress easily. Yeah, sir, but I was stressed.
I was too. I was stressed making it much of the time.
I'm sure.
Were you just ever like, let's get the hell out of that, whatever. Let's,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's what I didn't know, you know, making this, I never thought about it, or I thought about it, but I never really, it never sank in the way it is now, that you really have a responsibility when you make a documentary, because you can change people's lives. You can affect people in ways that, you don't realize, and the power of a documentary like this is incredible. And so I hope that I really hope that we were fair, and that we told this story in the most honest way possible, because as we speak, there are revelations. You know, the sheriff in Hillsborough Police Department in Tampa, Florida, came out last week saying Carol Baskin's the will and the power of attorney that she presented, you know, that they were forged. And you know, this is making real, you know, life-changing changes for these people. You know, it may be that Carol Baskin will have to give her millions or her money to the children of Don Lewis, who ended up with very little. But you question yourself, you know, did we tell this story in the fairest way possible? Because obviously people now have, you know, made conclusions about people that Joe Exotic is Robin Hood. He's a folk hero. Should Joe be a folk hero? I don't think so. Carol Baskin may have had a hand in killing her husband. You know, these are big, you know, these are powerful things to put out there.
Cheryl made a very good point a couple of weeks ago about Carol describing or being asked about killing her husband. And she said that, you know, his hand wouldn't even fit in the grinder. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just saying, you know, if let's say Bobby, God forbid, had died, and somebody said, did you kill Bobby and put him in a meat grinder? I don't think my first response would be, his hand wouldn't even fit in a meat grinder. It would be, you know, it would be like, what? Oh my God. What? How could you even, I mean, I'm in mourning. So, but also, I'm not here to judge Carol Baskin. I don't know her. I don't know what she's done or hasn't done. But it was just such an odd response that it's like, wow. I mean,
she made a good point.
All I can say about Carol Baskin is she never ceases to make me scratch my head. And having interviewed her over and over,
she's slippery.
Yes, and there's something that just makes you wonder about everything. You know, the way she responds when you say, what happened to Don Lewis? And she bats her eyes and looks up and has sort of an eerie laugh, or, you know, it, just everything.
I've spoken about that, her laugh. I feel like there are moments that seem inappropriate to laugh, and it feels a bit disconnected, and it caught my attention also watching the documentary, where I was like, that's an interesting moment to laugh. That's an interesting reaction to the conversation or question. And again, I don't know this woman. I don't know what she's up to, but people's laughter, and when it happens, it will sometimes trip me up, where I think that feels a little disconnected to the moment or question or something. It's just, I don't have anything other than that, except it just gets my attention.
Well, like Eric said, it's a head scratcher. Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
No, I was just going to say, if your loved one disappeared, Bobby never came back, you know, you don't also just say disparaging things about the person that disappeared, which is what Carol does. She basically says, and it's so bizarre, she says, oh, Don Lewis was stupid. He had a third grade education. He couldn't write. He collected junk. He only wore the same shirt every day. I mean, on and on and on. Meanwhile, this is a guy that, you know, actually graduated early, made millions of dollars from nothing. Was, you know, when you speak to everyone else, he was kind of a genius. But Carol has this whole sort of alternative story that fits a certain narrative, I guess, which is very peculiar. And it just goes on and on and on. It makes you scratch your head. All I can say is I hope that now that the police department in Tampa has sort of revitalized the case, that they may find some closure for Don Lewis's kids.
Oh,
who,
my gosh.
Who really got a short end of the stick on that one.
Jeez. I mean, it's so hard to keep, when you're watching Tiger King, to understand the gravity of the seriousness of the subjects in it. Because what we're talking about, you know, it's real. It's a man lost his life. He's got children. It's a real situation, you know.
Yes.
It's just like these tigers and animals that may be being mistreated. It's a very real situation. And even the people that work for whomever that's running the zoos, it's real.
Yeah, it's their real life. Yeah.
So, but I appreciate hearing from you, and I do think it comes out in your directing of this and your partner, Rebecca. Yeah, Rebecca. I think it comes out that you guys really understood the universe of this and how important it all is, because I never found you being flip or dismissive or disrespectful to anybody in it. It must weigh heavy on your mind sometimes.
Yeah, and I hope that in the end, I hope the pieces fall in the right places, and we didn't mistakenly accuse somebody of something that we shouldn't have. And I think in the very end, where the part that is so complicated is that you are dealing with real people's lives, and there are things that happen that are so unbelievable, like Don Lewis and Carol, and I think it's going to be revealed probably in the coming months that there are other things that other people did, maybe not so dissimilar to Don Lewis disappearing, that we haven't talked about.
Eric.
Yet. I don't no. mean to say that like that, but there are other skeletons.
Literal skeletons.
Literal skeletons that have come. We've learned this in the aftermath of the show.
Eric, would you mind if we listen to the clip of Carol talking about her husband?
No, go ahead.
I know everyone has seen this movie, but I just thought
that's
might
a reminder.
Be a, yeah.
I was going to say, because it's one of my favorite signage memes, was there's no relation to Baskin Robbins, Carol Baskin. Go ahead.
We had a meat grinder. If you've ever seen a butcher boy meat grinder, it's about that big around. That became like this wholly exciting thing that I ran him through that grinder. And it's like, I couldn't run his hands through the grinder, much less a body.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I just, again, I can't, if Stephanie disappeared, there's never a point where it would be that casual.
And hilarious.
And the laughter, again, it's like, what was the funny part? There was no funny part. If you're being accused of running your spouse's hand into a meat grinder, it's despicable that anybody would suggest such a thing. It would be like, I'm not Stephanie's hand, Bobby's hand, their hands.
So
what are you talking about?
It's a strange reaction.
It's disconnected. It's not funny. And no, it is not funny.
But so, Eric, so now I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen Tiger King. But Joe Exotic is now in prison. And I thought, you know, the most beautiful part of the documentary was the, I think it's just audio, right, of him talking about his experience being in prison. Do you have that, Thomas?
Oh, I thought you were going to say the most beautiful part was his wedding.
This call is subject to being recorded or monitored except for privileged calls between attorney and client.
I'm in a cage. You know why animals die in cages? Their soul dies.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's so powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope Joe really understands that. You know, he also talks about his chimps that were deprived of being with each other for all those years. And then they were, you know, placed in a chimp sanctuary in Florida where they could actually, for the first time, hug and touch one another. I think Joe, you know, hopefully he recognizes what he did. Although I think Joe's a very good, you know, actor, and he's good at making you make, you know, he kind of knows what to say and what one wants to hear. So I have mixed feelings about Joe. I feel, you know, just on that, I feel that the criminal justice system is really deeply flawed, and Joe doing 22 years in prison is too severe, because it's effectively a life sentence for Joe. And Joe is not one that would probably do well in prison, not that anyone would, but so it's really tragic what's happened with him. And this whole Free Joe campaign that's ignited recently, I think is, you know, sadly probably giving him a sense of false hope. You know, there was this huge tour bus that went to DC to try to, you know, get Trump to pardon Joe, and all of these things that are going on that are really, you know, kind of surreal.
Which probably would be one of Trump's number one
priorities.
No, I absolutely. I think it's going to be number one, because Joe sort of, you know, represents independents, conservatives, and Democrats. So I think as it gets closer to election, he'll probably pardon, you know, Trump will pardon Joe. It'll be a landslide. I'm kidding.
Eric, wait, what are you kidding about? That he's going to pardon him, or that it's going to be a landslide? Or
No, but these people that are trying to free Joe think that if Donald Trump pardoned Joe, it would help him in his election, which is
God.
So.
Now, here's something I remember Cheryl saying that I wanted to ask you about. Is it true that you're a vegetarian?
I'm not a vegetarian.
Okay, well then let's skip that.
Did you ask him that? Because we were talking about the idea of what they fed the tigers and being around that all the time.
Well, just all of it. And also thinking of the prison sentence, because I'm sure there's plenty of people that feel like, no, he jeopardized the lives of these animals.
Right.
I'm sure there's an argument on either side. And do you Do you get that sort of feedback or hear that from people?
Wait, I'm sorry. What's the question? Sorry.
Like, why shouldn't he be in jail for 22 years, the way he treated animals?
And potentially killed all these tigers. And, you know, I don't think it's, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I do think that we tend to be only punitive and not try to rehabilitate people at all. And I think that the truth is that if Joe's in prison for the way he treated animals, and he did horrible things to animals, there's no question, who needs 230 tigers?
I do not.
It was abusive, and it was exploitive and everything else. But there are so many other people that, you know, should be charged for the same crimes as Joe when it comes to the mistreatment of animals, tigers and other exotic animals. And so,
right.
You know, I guess the question for Joe is, why was he singled out and these other people are still operating that did equally horrible things when it comes to the animals? They probably didn't try to kill anybody, or maybe they did. But so I think that Joe was targeted, and maybe because he was the most outspoken, flamboyant, and yes, he probably did have more tigers than anyone in the country. But there are other people that are should be accused of the same.
Oh, for sure. No doubt.
Eric, you did sort of gloss over the tried to kill somebody. it does seem like if we take a step back, I mean, he seems like he's been trying to kill Carol Baskin for most of his lifetime. So, I mean, that can't be legal to like put snakes in somebody's mailbox. I mean, it's hard not to laugh when you talk about it, but I'm sure in the moment it's a serious, I mean, you know, he threatened her a lot at the very least.
Yeah. I mean, there's a combo of...
it's a combo platter.
This guy might be rough to have out on the streets.
I think that's fair for sure. And I think there may be others that had done similar things that Joe did, but they were just a little more quiet about it. Joe put it out there that he was trying to kill Carol Baskin.
He really did.
And I really think there were other people
stood on the mountaintop and put it out there.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing you say without you saying it, it sounds like maybe the prison system isn't going to rehabilitate Joe or a lot of people. So would he be better off in a different type of facility where they were looking at his psychological well-being? And
I mean, he was transferred 2 months ago to a place called Fort Worth Medical Center, but I went there. It's a prison outside of Fort Worth, Texas. And he's, by the way, been in something called the SHU, which is, you know, basically just a concrete box by himself because of the coronavirus. And that particular prison, over 50% of the people in the prison are positive. And I think over 10 people have died in that one prison. So anyway, he's been in isolation for the last few months. He is getting copious fan mail.
I'm sure.
Which is unbelievable.
Weird.
Has he gotten any record deal offers?
Well, as you probably know, that wasn't Joe's voice. And so
I didn't know that.
No, but the real musicians and singer behind Joe did get a record deal, Vince Johnson, recently.
Wait, how? Go ahead.
And there's a new song that I'm sure you've heard called Kill, what is it called?
Kill Carol Baskin?
It's like Carol Baskin to Carol. It's like, I can't.
Wait, when you say, of course, I must know that, how would I?
Called Killer Carol. That's the name of the song.
How would I or anybody else know that it's not Joe singing? I believed it was. And I was like, well, this is
multi-talented man.
Look at this guy.
I know. No, what you see in, usually when it comes to Joe is usually, you know, not
totally true.
No.
Okay.
No.
And so, why would a musician or singer step in and sing for this guy?
Joe placed an ad and he wanted some band to make music for him. And this particular band, called the Clinton Johnson Band.
Wow.
Based in the Northwest, sang and wrote all the songs. And Joe lip sync. you gotta love him for that.
Eric, I feel like we're gonna have to let you go soon, which it makes me angry. But will you, first of all, I want to thank you so much for coming on. What can you tell us quickly what you're working on next or not?
Monkey Moms.
It's okay. If you can't, that's okay too.
No, I'm busy, but I would just say that I'm still working on people and their
stories.
The interesting world of people and animals.
Okay. But can I ask you, like, the Tiger King crew or group or not really?
Oh, well,
like follow-ups with everything that's going on.
Yeah, that I can't really speak to, but there is, as you know, a whole, everyone's confused about what we're doing or not doing. And there's Kate McKinnon and there's, you know, Nicolas Cage and Rob Lowe. And I think everybody else under the sun trying to do something in that.
That'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
I don't think you can beat the real people, but it'll be interesting to see.
It'll
I agree.
Interesting to see.
But thanks, you guys.
It was a treat having you, and we really, really appreciate
really
you taking the time.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Eric. I'll see you soon, right. Hopefully. Thank you so much.
All right, you guys.
Bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Cheryl. Thanks, you guys. All right, bye-bye.
Well, that was
extraordinary.
Yeah, yeah. We should do it again sometime.
You wanna?
Yeah, let's do it again.
All right, let's do it again.
Oh, here, kitty, kitty. Mama's got some treats for you.
Next week, Cheryl and I are talking about the documentary Marina Abramović, The Artist is Present.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.